relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It's good to be back, and it doesn't matter if that's kind of Friday music, because I am in such a good mood. I was just desperately listening to this show as I was allegedly on vacation, celebrating my 24th anniversary of marriage to my bride. Listening to my guest host doing a rather superlative job. Thank you, everybody. Charlie Kirk, Chris Buskirk, Grant Stinchfield, the Baron Boris Epstein. You love him. And one of your new favorites, former with Fox Business, now a free agent. I love that, free agent. Trish Regan, who is one of our regular guests now. You all did superbly. But I'm back now, and it's so good to be back. We will be joined by Sagar and Jetty and Julie Kelly this hour, but I have to cover the big stories. I think I'm going to escalate. Let's escalate these stories. Firstly, a story from the Daily Wire from somebody called Ryan Saavedra. We know Ryan. We love Ryan. Warrant served on St. Louis couple who defended private property, rifle confiscated. You remember that couple, the McCluskeys, who when their gate was broken down by the Black Lives Matter protesters, private property destroyed, they came out of their beautiful mansion with an AR-15 in his hands and a little stainless steel automatic in hers. Well, here's where that story is now. Law enforcement officials in St. Louis have allegedly served a warrant on the couple who recently defended their home when a large mob of angry demonstrators trespassed onto their private property. Five on your side, this is a quote, five on your side has learnt St. Louis police officers executed a search warrant Friday evening at the home of Mark and Patricia McCluskey, the Central West End couple who confronted protesters with weapons in June, KSDK News reported. Sources tell Five on Your Side police seized one of the weapons, the rifle, from the couple, and they told police their attorney has the pistol seen in the photo. So for some reason, they gave the pistol to their attorney, but the police took the rifle. Why? Why? Well, do you know who the local prosecutor is? It's a woman whose campaign was funded in part by an organization funded by George Soros. Second Amendment. It is one of their targets. You have castle doctrine. You're allowed to protect your home. You don't shoot anybody. And what do? The prosecutor, funded by George Soros' organization, comes to take your guns away. It's not a theory anymore. It's happening. Okay, I said I'd escalate. It's from the Daily Caller. Jordan Lancaster. Woman shot and killed after group says, quote, all lives matter. An Indianapolis woman was shot to death along a canal at the weekend after either she or someone in her group told a group of Black Lives Matter supporters that all lives matter. The victim, Jessica Dotty Whitaker, and her fiancé, Jose Ramirez, were hanging out at the canal with two other people when someone in their group said the N-word, allegedly. Haven't seen that in other stories. Which prompted a confrontation with a group of strangers, Ramirez told Fox 59 News. When the suspect group said, Black Lives Matter, either Whitaker or someone else in her group replied, No, all lives matter, Ramirez said. After realizing both groups were armed, they separated and fist bumped before walking away. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's cool. We're going to go our separate ways. They thought the other group had left, Ramirez said. But they were sitting on St. Clair, waiting for us to come under the bridge, and that's when she was shot. She shouldn't have lost her life. She's got a 3-year-old son she loved dearly, Ramirez said. It's hard to tell his mom is in heaven. If you want to talk to her, you have to look up and say, I love you, Mom. So, in America, if you say all lives matter, it could get you shot. Let's go from Indianapolis to New York. This is from our friend, A.W.R. Hawkins, who writes the Second Amendment pieces for Breitbart.com. 1-year-old in a stroller shot to death in Mayor de Blasio's NYC. A 1-year-old boy was shot to death Sunday night near Raymond Bush Playground in Mayor de Blasio's New York City. CBS New York reported the boy was in a stroller during a barbecue when he was shot at about 11:30 p.m. The boy was transported to a hospital where he died. 3 other individuals were wounded in the shooting. The 1-year-old child is dead. This is occurring in an America where the Democrat Party wants to defund the police. 24-year-old mothers of 3-year-old children being murdered for saying all lives matter, and 1-year-old babies being shot in their strollers. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Arizona. Gene, line 3, welcome to America First.
God bless you, Dr. Gorka. I had a suggestion to make because I try to do as much politically as I can here in the Gilbert, Arizona area. I know a young field representative for President Trump who asked me to make phone calls. And I had done this before for a different candidate. And I really think that making phone calls is sort of a waste of time because many people don't have landlines and you're reaching people like me, an elderly person who is already a Trump supporter.
But hang on. Why are they giving you only landline numbers? They should be giving you cell phone numbers.
Well, I was just assuming. I don't know how they would get cell phone numbers, but maybe it was cell phone numbers. But my suggestion is the social media, I believe, is really brainwashing and stealing the minds of our young people, many in my own family included. And I think that that's the way we have to approach. As this young man, I said, think of a way through social media to get these people back because they're hating our president for no reason other than by watching their friends, what they say on social media. They're running to protest, almost like it's the in thing to do because they saw it on social media. So I think that social media is a way to get these young millennial types back, but I really don't know how to do that.
Well, look, I've always said one of the greatest examples is what my colleague, my friend Dennis Prager, has done. He created a platform maybe less than a decade ago, which now has had 3 billion views. I mean, that's incredible. When you create something that has that many people looking at it. And it's mostly young people who are looking at it. And, of course, I'm talking about PragerU or Prager University. PragerU.com has focused on visually attractive, simple videos, the longest of which is about 9 minutes long. Many of them are much, much shorter. And sadly, that's the territory we have to move in. You can't tell people, okay, you've been brainwashed. Go back, read the Federalist Papers. Go back and read, you know, Plato, Aristotle, and de Tocqueville. Who reads books anymore? Who reads books who's under the age of 40 today in America? How do people absorb information? You're right, Gene. It's social media. I'm part of that. Most of the news I get from talk radio and my Twitter feed. And a lot of people are like that. We have to understand that to win any war, and this is a type of war, it's a culture war, you have to compete on the field of battle where the enemy is. If the enemy is in a certain location and you amass your troops 1,000 miles away, it's totally irrelevant. Unless you are the master of disinformation, unless you know how to win a war without fighting, you have to engage on the field of battle where your enemy is arrayed. And right now, you're right. It's in the media. And more important than in the media, it's in the culture. Andrew Breitbart was so right. We handed them the culture, and that's how they captured politics. But we must capture it back. God bless you, Gene. Great call. Next up here on America First, Julie Kelly on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from ReliefFactor.com studios outside the insalubrious, fetid, putrid swamp that is Washington, D.C., with me, your host, former strategist to the president, Sebastian Gorka.
Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
No, that is not a comedy skit from SNL. That is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who says the violence across America is a function of people needing to steal bread to feed their children. Julie Kelly, have you broken into Louis Vuitton stores and set police patrol cars on fire because your children were hungry?
Not yet, but had I known this was an option, I'm looking at this totally differently now.
I mean, if only we'd known, if only the mayor of Minneapolis, if only the president of the United States had realized that all these people are doing is stealing bread loaves.
Now I feel silly for spending $2,800 on that last Louis bag.
Yeah, how foolish you are. But no, let's get serious. Let's not waste our time on silly women like AOC who don't know what a trash disposal is or that plants grow out of dirt. We're talking to Julie Kelly. She is senior contributor for one of our favorite websites, American Greatness, amgreatness.com. And she's on our show. Why? Because she has a brand new book. Let's put the link at the top of my Twitter feed, at top of Facebook right now. It's called Disloyal Opposition: How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Congratulations on... Is this your first book, Julie?
It is my first book, and I give you a well-deserved shout-out in the acknowledgments because you've been so supportive of my work the past few years. So thank you for all of that.
Stop it. We're not here to talk about me, although I do like that subject. We're here to talk about you. Disloyal opposition, you say they tried, the Never Trump Right tried to bring down the president, but failed. Is it over? Has the fat lady started to sing? You sound very optimistic that the failure is final. Are you so sure, Julie Kelly, that we have nothing to worry about for the next 112 days?
Oh, I think we have plenty to worry about. You know, what's interesting, Sav, when we finally had to go to print on this book, it was about mid-February. So after the impeachment crusade charade, Things were looking so great for Trump at that time. I mean, his approval ratings were sky high. Republican Party was doing well. The economy was great. Everything was moving in his direction. And then, obviously, coronavirus, the lockdown, and now the race war is hitting. And so he's had a rough patch. But I have faith that he will, regain his footing. And the Democrats just cannot take power, because we now see what that means for the country.
Yeah, we are seeing it every single day. Follow this lady right now, Julie_Kelly2. Who is Julie Kelly number one? We don't care. Julie_Kelly2 on Twitter. So let's talk about these people. Let me ask is it naive? Is it provocative? I don't know. You choose. Are any of the people, and you go through them all in the book, are any of these people from little Bill Kristol to Rick Wilson, who has a strange sense of dress, are any of these individuals actually conservatives anymore in good faith? Or are they all prostitutes for the left-wing millionaires and billionaires who fund them?
They are the useful idiots for the left, which is one of the chapters in my book. Another chapter in my book details where most of their funding is coming from, which is not from the right. I'm sure this will shock you, but from the left. And from a tech billionaire, a left-wing tech billionaire, who's pouring millions of dollars into various Never Trumpers.
Name this individual who's funding these Never Trumpers, because you've done some of the real foundational investigative reporting. Who is behind these fake conservatives, Julie Kelly?
One of them, the key funder, is Pierre Omidyar, who is the founder of eBay. Who's a very wealthy man, as you can imagine, an early Trump foe, created a Never Trump PAC back in 2016. And he continues to pour millions of dollars into these projects, most of them fronted by Bill Kristol. The latest one is Republican Voters Against Trump, which is, you see these little videos, allegedly, of Republicans who are pledging not to vote for Trump and will vote for Biden. So they are basically on the dole of the left and helping the Democrats try to defeat Trump once again. Same playbook from 2016. So we're seeing this getting rolled out again in 2020.
And what is the end game for the people who say they're conservatives but are taking millions of dollars from left-wing radical billionaires? Is it just to just sabotage the will of the American people and get back to where they were in 2015 with their sinecures and their fellowships? Or is it something darker than that, Julie?
I think it's a combination of things, Seb. I definitely think it's careerism. I mean, who on what planet would anyone listen to Jennifer Rubin or Max Boot if there were anyone else in the White House besides Donald Trump? So, Bill Kristol, there's a puff piece in the Washington Post over the weekend, and they referred to Bill Kristol as a conservative commentator.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, he, in February, announced that he was a Democrat. He has supported every Democratic candidate since 2016, both in the Senate and the House. He claimed to have found his inner socialist. There's nothing conservative about Bill Kristol.
But hang on, let's go back to what he said 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. This is the last time I saw him, when I told him what I thought of him, where he had just tweeted out the following. As quote-unquote a conservative, he said, "In a choice between President Trump and the deep state, Julie, I choose the deep state." This is who these people are, no?
They are. And Sev, it's useful to remember that the whole Russian collusion hoax was seeded, began in Never Trump conservative outlets. The one that was at the time led by Bill Kristol's son-in-law, Matthew Continetti, who headed up the Washington Free Beacon, they were the original outlet to hire Fusion GPS in late 2015. This is according to Glenn Simpson's book. He's saying this. So they were the first perpetuators of this lie. So it wouldn't be a surprise for Bill Kristol to come out and say he supports the deep state, because he and his Never Trump allies from the beginning were the first people to try to convince people that the Trump campaign was colluding with the Kremlin to influence the election.
Yeah, this is you expect the left. The left are going to do that. Their ideology is completely subordinated to the ends justify the means, whatever it takes. They have no principles because victory and power is the end state. But these are people who say they're conservatives, who say they believe in the founding principles of our nation, but then do everything they can to subvert not one man. This isn't about my old boss, President Trump. This is about subverting the will of 63 million Americans. Find out more about who these people are in Julie Kelly's first book. Get it now. Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Follow her on Twitter, Julie_Kelly2. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the President of the United States. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation. Hundreds of stations, millions of listeners and viewers on YouTube. Back with Sagar and Jetty. Whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial. President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer, and he wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, to 88022 today for your chance to meet my old boss, President Trump, at the convention. Again, that's G-O-R-K-A to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are back, and what a first day back it has been. Thank you for your loyalty with our guest hosts. But it is good to be back in the saddle, especially with guests like the last one we're going to close the show with today. He is the co-host of Rising, Sagar and Jetty. You can follow him, E-Sagar, on Twitter. That's E-S-A-A-G-A-R. I don't know how he gets away with being a media fellow with the Hudson Institute, because he's a bit of a contrarian, not exactly your establishment conservative. He's also writing at The Hill and best-selling author of Populist's Guide to 2020. Sagar, welcome back to America First.
Good to see you, Dr. Gorka. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I caught your fabulous interview on a certain podcast by an individual with the initials JR. You are not the average journalist. I wouldn't say you're the average conservative either. We had Victor Davis Hanson on the show earlier, and the good professor said, look, the GOP establishment really treats 2016 as an anomaly. There's one guy out there, with a few exceptions of Tom Cotton and a couple of others, but there's really one guy out there saying, these are cultural Marxists. This is the fruit of the last 80 years from, you know, Antonio Gramsci through Adorno through Alinsky. And there's one guy called, you know, Donald Trump, my old boss, who's calling it as it is. And the rest of the GOP is kind of like just sitting it out. How is it possible that DC doesn't understand, whether you like Donald Trump or not, what happened in 2016? Do they all have to read Hillbilly Elegy? Tell us why they just don't get it, Sagar.
Well, you know, Dr. Gork, I'm not even sure if they need to get it, because they're paid not to get it. That's right. That's what so much of it is rests upon. It's right. All about corruption. It's all about denying the reality of 2016, because if they accept 2016, then they can't cash checks in order to try and get people more funds from people who want to do business with NATO, for example, or from people who were doing just fine under the Obama administration. Or even, look, I mean, many of your viewers, my viewers, listeners, and others are people who in good faith believed Republicans when they said, please give us money, elect us in order to enact an agenda that works for you. And then when they get here, what do? They don't do any of that. Do you see them standing up for statues, heritage, or any of that in terms of substantive legislation? No. Nothing. The truth is, and this is what I really have to come to accept, they would rather that Joe Biden win. They would rather Hillary be president, because then they could claim that they would stand up for you while cashing your checks. That's what I really understood.
But if you're really, maybe it's just a function of IQ. If you're really, even if you're a transactional politician, if you're corrupt as the day is long, if you're smart, you understand that something fundamental happened in 2016 when I traveled to Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm in Steel Valley, and Democrat manual laborers are screaming for the president, drain the swamp, drain the swamp. Surely your longevity could be a function of you attaching your wagon train to the president. Are they that stupid, Sagar, or just that corrupt?
Yeah. They are. Well, it's both. So they're both stupid and corrupt, which is a deadly combination, right? So you're right. The smart ones would say, hey, I've got a political opportunity here. But the rest of them, what do? They want to keep cashing the checks, and they don't want to work that hard. I mean, you know many of these people. They like going out to Old Ebbett Grill and to Smith's Steakhouse and ordering, you know, based on somebody else's dime. And they don't really want to do anything. They didn't come to Washington for a single other purpose other than to grift off of their constituents. And then after they leave, they can go work for like a Chinese company like TikTok, which is something that I've been reporting on a lot. Why is it that we have former Kevin McCarthy and Paul Ryan aides who are working as huge lobbyists for a Chinese corporation? What? Why is that? Unless the fact that they are willing to sell out their country for a quick buck. How did that happen? How did it that these people infested the Republican Party? And I think that's very much a story of it, which is that even whenever it's political opportunity, as long as if they can't make any money, they're not interested.
I think we need to get you in studio. We need to have a much longer discussion. Maybe not a 3.5 hour long one, but just that one topic. Just that one topic of TikTok and where these people end up as lobbyists, members of the board. We need to have that conversation. In the meantime, follow this man right now on Twitter, E. Sagar, S-A-A-G-A-R. Watch his show. It's called Rising. And also check out his book, The Populist Guide to 2020. I'm Sebastian Gorka. He'll be back with us in a moment. But in the meantime, this is America First across the nation. Millions of listeners, millions of viewers, YouTube, Facebook, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Natural, drug-free. Oh, and by the way, it works. How do I know that? I don't need a script. I don't have talking points. I've been living it for a year and a half when I had my lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. And I meet Pete and Seth Talbot, and what happens? They say, try this product. I did. 2 weeks later, I was without pain, and I still am. Tens of thousands of Americans are taking it right now because it works. See their incredible video testaments at ReliefFactor.com and then find out for yourself if it could work for you. It's so very simple. Order the 3-week quick starter pack, $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I'll tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Dr. G's guarantee, if you try it for 3 weeks, morning and evening, as did I, you will know by the end of those 3 weeks if Relief Factor works for you like it works for me. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next success story? Do it today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with Sagar and Jetty in a moment. Don't touch that dial.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I got it wrong when I was last in the studio. Eric corrected me. It wasn't 10 million views we've broken on our new YouTube channel. It's 11. God bless you all. You can listen to the terrestrial broadcast. We love you all. There's hundreds of stations across the nation. But if you want to watch radio, a lot of people do. Check out our YouTube channel. Look for My Name America First. Click on the subscription link and the bell twice. That's how sneaky those fascists are at YouTube. You got to hit the bell twice before they actually get you the notifications, and you won't miss a thing. You won't miss great discussions with our current guest, for example. He is Sagar Andjedi, host of Rising, co-host. He's also media fellow with the Hudson Institute and author of The Populist Guide to 2020. Sagar, let's stay on this issue of what's going to happen in the next 112 days. What do you say to those? My old boss in the White House, Steve Bannon, kind of glommed on early to this idea that politics everywhere, forget America, but it begins across the pond in Brexit. It goes all the way to Modi in India, goes all the way to the new prime minister in Australia. Politics changed irrevocably about 4 years ago. And it's really, it's the clash of two titans. It's the titans of two different populisms. It's the reestablishment, the reinvigoration of the Westphalian nation state. On one hand, strong nation states are good, whether it's the UK out of the EU, whether it's America under Donald Trump, or the globalizing left-wing populism of a Bernie Sanders or Jeremy Corbyn. Is that an oversimplification? Do you think that's a good shorthand for what we're witnessing?
Yeah, I do think it's a very good simplification. But, you know, the thing is what I've actually come to understand is I think that a lot of left-wing populism is actually fake. And what I mean by that is that it's just identitarianism, which is dressed up.
Okay, that's fancy. That's a fancy word. What is identitarianism for our listeners?
Let's just call them race obsessives, right? Okay. Like, these are people who are absolute race obsessives, who are they care a lot more about identity politics and about diversity in the White House than they do about you or I's wages, about real working class parents. And the truth is, they're all very highly educated people with the same values as like a McKinsey lawyer, right? Or somebody who works at Harvard.
Just like the Harvard graduate with the Molotov cocktail in New York, right? The two lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. The perfect example, right? Play acting revolutionary who is really just some Harvard, you know, educated lawyer. And so what I've really understood is that these people, they use working class Americans kind of as a meme. They'll look at them and be like, well, we're working on their behalf. And by doing that, we're going to defund the police. So think about this. This is a movement which purports to support working class Americans, that wants to put 800,000 working class law enforcement officers out of work. Anybody want to riddle me that? Or they want to take guns away from working class Americans? Who do you think are the working class? Who do you think that the people who own guns are in America? It's all working class. These people are absolute phonies. That's really what they're all about. And so I think the Titanic struggle really is globalization and nationalism. It's globalism versus nationalism. And you couldn't be better on display right now. I was just reading an article from Axios. Joe Biden's basically foreign policy team is saying they want to bring back an apology tour 2.0.
Yeah.
These are the same people who work for Barack Obama, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, a known liar, Colin Call, the Donnellans, all these guys, pure globalized swamp creatures. And then they want to trot Biden all over the world. I don't even know how that's going to work out if he can constitutionally hold up to it, and to say, we're so sorry about all this Trumpism. That's the Titanic struggle, I think, across the entire globe.
I just don't know if he gets any cocktail party invitations to Adams Morgan or Georgetown, but we love him because of the truth telling he does. Follow him right now on Twitter, E-Sagar, S-A-A-G-A-R. But Sagar, let's talk about everybody in that movement. So you have the cynics, you have, you know, the fake Native Americans like Pocahontas, but then you have, let's say, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of the fellow travelers. But Saga, even the non-cynical members, the cannon fodder, they're as fake as anybody else. If you really cared about race, you wouldn't be protesting on the streets of America that actually had a black president a few years ago. You'd be fighting for the rights of, you know, Indian and Filipino workers in Saudi Arabia. You'd be fighting for women in the slave markets of North Africa, or the female genital mutilation that's rampant across Egypt. But they're not. So it's all a fraud, isn't it?
Yes, is exactly right, which it is. It is all a fraud. Let's take their word at it. Who suffers the most from defund the police? It is working class communities of color in the inner city. Those are the people who are suffering. Look at New York City right now. A one-year-old child shot at a backyard cookout. San Francisco, where they're basically decriminalizing any sort of violent crime and not, you know, not sending police in, having an active campaign against police unions and against police officers. This is a war on working class and poor Americans who cannot defend themselves. Remember, these are all people who can provide private security, or they have enough money that they can pick up, they can sell their house at a loss if they have to, they can move to the suburbs, they can all live in these rich communities, while actual people of color, who again are poor and are disadvantaged by the system, are the ones who are being destroyed by these policies.
All right,
we
have to get you in studio. We have to discuss your book at length. One last super quick question. We've got 60 seconds left. Call me naive if you must. What is your vision? What should we have in America? We're only going to really have two parties ever. Everything else fails. Libertarians are smoking crack. You know, the Ross Perot screw up the party they think they're on the side of. What should American politics look like, according to Sagar?
Well, if it was up to me, I'd have a real left populism and a real right populism. Right. Exactly what you talked about. Leftists who actually care and are advancing their social values, which, look, I don't want to delegitimize. I disagree with them. It's a fine argument to hold. And then real right nationalists who believe in the nation and who aren't corrupted by so many of the big business forces that we have right now.
Is there a politician out there that anywhere in the world that embodies that real national nationhood politician?
There are little instances around the world, right? So you look at Hungary, you look at Poland, even here, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, Marco Rubio,
yes.
Even, you know.
Oh, come on.
Change his mind.
You had to. I liked you until then. Marco Rubio, please. He's just joshing you there. He is Sagar and Jetty. That was fabulous. Got to have you in studio. Follow this man on Twitter and check out the Populist Guide to 2020 right now. God bless you. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We've got 112 days left, guys. We've got to stick together. If you've got a mobile phone, and I know you do, if you're with one of the big companies, guess what? You are funding things like Planned Parenthood, Democrat candidates, gun control. Go with the only Christian conservative phone company. It's called Patriot Mobile. You will get big discounts, a free phone, get a free month, free activation. You can keep your old number. You can keep your old phone or get a new phone. Go right now to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Or call their U.S.-based team, rated number one for customer service in the United States, on 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/GORKA. They support the Second Amendment. They support right to life. They are the good guys. They have dependable nationwide 4G LTE coverage, unlimited talk and data. Join the good guys who are on your side. The only Christian conservative cell phone company. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. Do it today. Call them, 972-PATRIOTS.
Listening to America First with Dr. G.
He's so right. Such an unusual voice, starting to get the recognition he deserves. Follow that man, Sagar and Jetty. Politics hasn't changed. One man woke the world up. Woke up the left, woke up the right, woke up the people in the middle who really weren't interested in politics. That man was my old boss, Donald Trump. But the people inside the system, they haven't changed. There's a handful of good guys. You know who they are. People who come on our show. And the rest, 95% of them, are exactly the same as they were 4 years ago. Craven cowards, or corrupt swamp dwellers, or craven, cowardly, corrupt swamp dwellers. So how's it going to change? Is this just going to be one man who does things a little bit differently for one term, or, God willing, two terms in office? Or is it going to be a catalytic event?
Is 2016 going to bring true, meaningful change to the way that things are done in this city and in our country? There's only one answer to that. And it's you, my friend. And it's why we are here. We are here not to entertain, not to fill time, but to help you help this nation. We're here to be a voice for so many who don't have a platform, think they don't have a voice. Oh, but you do. Every single one of you. I don't care where you live. You could be in the most Republican, gun-toting part of Texas. You could be stuck in some socialist hellhole like Cambridge, Massachusetts. You matter because you're an American and you love this country for the right reasons. Irrespective of who your parents were, where you came from, or especially your skin color. I want you to take yourself seriously and the threat to this nation in 112 days. I get asked all the time, what can I do? Become part of the solution. Talk out, run for local office, volunteer. Just get on social media. Bang that drum loud. Do it proudly, because we truly have a nation to save, which is the greatest nation on God's earth. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. Watch your six, keep your head on a swivel. Never give up, never give in. Hold the line, and now more than ever, stay frosty. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.